This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord, according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these things since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to Jesus, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. What would change right now? What would change if you learned that you had very little time left? Would your priorities change if right now you felt your life slipping away? Honestly, that's our situation, for we are running out of time. Our life is one day shorter than it was yesterday. Our legacy is our response of faith. What will our legacy be? One day a man comes to Jesus with these kinds of questions, and Jesus suggests that the guy should love God and love others. Jesus lives into this perfectly, and as a result, Jesus has left the most powerful of legacies, the legacy of loving God completely and loving us sacrificially. What is involved in loving others? What is involved in loving God? These are very faithful questions. Yet what if our actual question is, what's not involved in loving God and in loving others? In today's gospel, another guy comes to Jesus asking, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus tells him, "You know the commandments. No murdering, no committing adultery, no stealing, no giving of false testimony, no defrauding, plus honor mom and dad." The guy's on his knees declaring how he's kept all these rules since his youth. He's using his commandment keeping as a sign of entitlement. Still, in spite of this, he's on his knees awaiting an answer from Jesus. Wouldn't you think that if he's keeping the commandments perfectly, then this guy would not be on his knees and would not be here before Jesus, because absolutely nothing would be missing? Jesus looks at him, loves him. Then Jesus challenges him, saying, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." The man's downcast. completely blown away by this challenge. Now we learn how this guy is a man with many possessions. And he loves them far too much to let them go. He loves them more than following Jesus. In fact, he loves them more than he loves Jesus. How does it go with us? Do we know who Jesus is and what Jesus offers us? Is there any possession that we wouldn't release just to have Jesus? Jesus loves this rich guy, but this rich guy can't part with his possessions because he loves them so very much. If loving God completely involves his possessions belonging to God, and these are to be given away, then count him out. So hasn't it now become obvious that this guy has not kept the commandment since his youth? Or hasn't he broken the very first of the 10? How's he doing? Well, you shall have no gods before me. When he walks away from Jesus, this guy personifies talking the talk, yet not walking the walk. This rich guy has become a lesson which people have pondered for two millenniums because he's left a legacy that's impossible to forget. The Roman Empire has left a legacy as well, the story of the Cyprian plague. It's a pandemic happening around 200 years after the ascension of Jesus. In Rome, as many as 5,000 die daily. Bodies rot in streets, attracting vermin, adding more illness to the already unhealthy environment. The pandemic creates mass panic, a panic so intense that when symptoms appear, people move away, leaving their sick behind. With no cure, family members abandon their sick loved ones right there in their beds. Saint Cyprian describes this plague as something like our modern-day Ebola. Absolutely everyone runs from this plague when it appears. Everyone, that is, except for the Christians. When others run, Christians stay, tending to the sick, bringing food and water, being the presence of Jesus in the toughest of spots are the Christians. Unsurprisingly, people see them, take notice, and come with a host of questions. Perhaps the most frequent question is, when others run at the risk of your life, you stay. Why on earth would you do this? The answer is both obvious and simple. Jesus. Jesus doesn't leave the sick to their own devices. Jesus stays. Jesus heals. Jesus loves. The Christians do as Jesus does. And as a result, people don't know what to make of this irrational, unselfish sort of love. People can debate theological points all day long and all night long too, but people can never debate love. People can not easily blow off acts of love done by a people centered on Jesus. It's love in action, requiring no words at all. Love in action draws people to Jesus. It changes hearts and minds. We cannot preach a single person into the kingdom of heaven. We cannot reason a single person into the kingdom of heaven, nor can we strong arm a single person into the kingdom of heaven. Yet can't we love the meanness out of them with the love of Jesus Christ? That will make all the difference. Because the love of Jesus is our legacy. It's the greatest gift that God's church has been given and has the humble honor to steward. When God's church realizes and embraces this truth, it will be the most loving, powerful force on this planet, if not in the universe. No one action, thought, or word can fully convey what it is to love God completely. Yet when a person loves God as completely and wholeheartedly as they are able, it leaves a legacy that lasts, that creates change, that makes a difference. A legacy so loving that it makes people hunger for the salvation of Jesus Christ. Each of us will leave a legacy. And our legacy will tell the world what mattered most and least to us. Isn't our legacy to love others with the love of Jesus so intensely and intentionally that we leave people better than we found them? That we leave our family better than we found them? That we leave Joy Lutheran Church better than we found it? Aren't these what matter most to us? And if not, shouldn't these be? What is the legacy of our congregation? Shouldn't it be to love God so completely in the name of Jesus that we leave everyone far better than we found them? So much better, in fact, that they see Jesus. And if that isn't the legacy we're making, then shouldn't it be? Amen.